Preach this morning from the book of Luke, and if you'll go with us there this morning, we'll have a little more singing tonight. Luke, the book of Luke, chapter number 24. Again, we want to thank you for being with us in the Lord's house this morning. Appreciate every song that's been sung. Amen. And I believe God has just ordered everything in light of the message this morning. If you're here and you're not saved, I want to say the altars are always open, and you can come at any time, and someone will come and pray with you. If you'll stand with us, Luke chapter 24, and like to read two verses of Scripture and then pray and bring the message God has laid upon our heart. Luke chapter number 24. Well, let's back up to verse number 36. The Bible says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he saith unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet." Let's bow for prayer, then you can be seated. Father, Lord, I want to thank you this morning that only Jesus can satisfy our soul. And I pray this morning for that soul that may be here this morning that's not satisfied, that there's an emptiness, there's a longing in their soul. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would deal with their heart. Bring them to a place of repentance and salvation this morning. And Father, bless the message and may the will of God be done. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice with me in verse number 36 that Jesus appearing to his disciples. The Bible says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Now, no doubt this was startling to the disciples because the last time they had saw Jesus, he was hanging on a cross. He had gave his life and he had died at Calvary. And now he appears. He has a glorified body. He does not walk up to them, but the Bible says here that he stood in the midst of them. I don't know about you, but that'd startle any one of us. Amen. If someone from another world stepped into our world and just suddenly appeared. So we see Jesus appearing to his disciples, and then we see Jesus astonishing his disciples. In verse 37, the Bible said, "But they were terrified and affrighted, supposing that they had seen a spirit." Now that would make sense because again, the last time they saw Jesus, he was dead. But now he is very much alive. Amen. I'm glad the Bible said in Revelation 1 and verse 18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." And so Jesus is appearing to his disciples. He is astonishing his disciples. But then notice in verse number 38 that Jesus is asking his disciples. He is bringing them to a point. Now, anytime the Lord asks the question, it is not because he does not know the answer. Amen. Because he knows the very intent and the very thoughts of our heart. But he is bringing these disciples to a place where he wants them to be at. And he says unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" I'll stop and say this. I'm glad he knows the thoughts that's in our hearts. Amen. They didn't say anything, but they didn't have to. Jesus not only could look on their face, but he could look on their heart and know the questions that was in their heart. You know, that's encouraging in and of itself because sometimes in prayer, there are no words to simply say what is on the inside. Now, I'm telling you, he don't have to hear our words. He can read our heart. Amen. I'm glad he can read the table of our heart and know exactly what's arising on the inside. And so Jesus is asking them this question here. Why are thoughts, or why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? So Jesus is asking his disciples. But when we get to our text verse, in verse number 39, I want you to see that Jesus is assuring his disciples. Amen. He's going to say something to them in verse number 39 that's going to take away all the doubt. Amen. It's going to take away all the questions. questions. He is going to answer everything that is running through their heart and through their mind. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus not only has the answer, but Jesus is the answer this morning. He's the answer for every trouble that ever comes in your life. He's the answer for every question that ever comes across your heart. And Jesus appears to them. Jesus astonishes them. He asks them with the intent that he might give them assurance this morning. Notice with me in our text, look what he says. Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. And look what verse 40 says. And when he had thus spoken, watch this, he showed them his hands and his feet. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject, on the wounds of Calvary. The wounds of Calvary. I would liken this verse this morning to John chapter number 20 and verse number 27. Thomas goes in and he tells the other disciples, or rather the other disciples come to Thomas and said, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas makes this statement, and I'm glad Thomas made this statement. He said, except I put my finger in the nail prints in his hand, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. Now, you know why that's important? Because Roman soldiers, a lot of times when they would crucify a man, sometimes they would use nails, and then sometimes they would use leather straps or ropes to tie that man's limbs to the cross. But it is evident in what Thomas said that they did not use ropes and they did not use leather straps. But they used the hammer and they used the nail, because Thomas said, except I put my finger in the nail prints in his head and my hand in his side, he said, I will not believe. Now you think about that. That spear had to be big enough to go in the side of Jesus and make a wound big enough that Thomas would be able to put his hand in the side of Jesus. You say, well, what if Thomas was wrong? He's not, because in verse 27, then for chapter 20, Jesus says to him, he said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. Amen. I'm talking about the wounds of Jesus this morning. Jesus did not rebuke Thomas for what he said, but he revealed to Thomas and said, Thomas, whatever it's going to take for you to believe that I'm not dead and I'm alive, go ahead and put your hand in my side. Go ahead and put your finger in the nail prints in my hands, if that's what it takes. But I want to tell you, one look at Calvary, the Christ of Calvary, and that's all it took, my friend, to prove to Thomas that Jesus was alive. Amen. Now I'm talking about the wounds of Jesus this morning, the wounds of Calvary. Now you think about all the torturous acts that Jesus went through. Think about by the time Jesus got to the cross, Isaiah said his visage was marred beyond any man. They had beat Jesus. They had took him to the scourging post. They had opened his back. They had opened his rib cage. They had exposed his organs. They beat Jesus to a bloody pulp. And then he dies at the cross, on the cross. And 3 days later, he comes out of the grave, doesn't he? But when Jesus comes out of the grave, the wounds that he kept are amazing to me. Because he has a glorified body. He has the same body that he had before the cross, but now it is a resurrected body. It is a glorified body. That means it was triumphant over death. That means it is triumphant over all kinds of things. It was triumph over time. It was triumph over space. Jesus could walk through a wall in that glorified body, which we know he did in John chapter 20. So he has the same body to be recognized, but now it is a glorified body. His visage is not marred anymore when he come out of the grave. He did not come out a rugged, bloody mess when he come out on the other side of the grave. The price had been paid. The altar had been satisfied. The blood had been shed. And Jesus came out a conqueror. He came out a victor, and he came out with a glorified body. Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. When he come out of the grave with that glorified body, there were some wounds that he kept from the other side of the grave. And every wound that Jesus kept, he identified with the cross. Amen. He kept the print in the hands. He kept the print in the feet. He kept where the spear had been run through his side. I'm talking about the wounds of Calvary. I'm not talking about the wounds he got at the scourging rack. I'm not talking about the wounds he may have received when the band of soldiers stood around him. But he kept those wounds that he got while he was on the cross and at the cross that identified him with Calvary. Amen. The wounds of Jesus. What do these wounds mean this morning? I want you to think about these wounds in verse 39. They were obvious wounds, amen, because they could be seen. They were open wounds in the fact that they were still wounds. In fact, Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6 says that one of these days, Israel is going to ask him that question, what are these wounds in thy hands? And he'll answer and say, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends, amen. I hate to tear up a song this morning, and you go, listen, I shout on it. It's a good song. I like the song. I know what the songwriter meant when he talked about those nail-scarred hands. But I'm going to tell you this morning, they're not scarred. Amen. My friend, the Bible said there's wounds. What that means, the difference between that scar and that wound, it means they're still open. Amen. Because Calvary's still open, and the gospel is still open, and it'll always be open to sinners. My friend, it is still fresh. Calvary's as fresh this morning as it was 2,000 years ago. It's not closed. The gospel's not closed. My friend, the cross is not closed. Calvary's not an afterthought. Here we are in 2024, and this just is real right now as if we'd have been standing there at the foot of the cross. I'm talking about the wounds of our Savior. They're fresh this morning. Amen. We think about the wounds of Jesus this morning. Let me give you three things and we'll be through. Number one, I want you to see that these wounds bear an identity. Why did Jesus keep these wounds? Why did he not just erase those nail prints and those prints in his feet and his hands? Why did he keep the riven side? I'll say number one, because these wounds bear an identity. Notice what he said in verse 39. He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Amen. Listen, the way that they were going to know that it was Jesus was because they knew what had happened to him. They knew that his hands and his feet had been pierced. They knew the soldier, after he had died, had run a spear through his side. And so it bore an identity. The cross identified Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to say, my friend, the cross still identifies Jesus Christ. The reason we identify with the cross is because we identify with the Christ of Calvary. Amen. He wasn't the only man that was ever crucified, but he was the only man that was ever crucified that came out of the grave 3 days later victorious. Amen. See, a lot of men died at Calvary. Two other thieves died. A lot of men were crucified. Roman crucifixion, my friend, was instituted 800 years after Isaiah 53 had been written. A lot of men had been crucified, but when death showed up at Calvary on this day, death had never witnessed a man like Jesus. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, Jesus died at Calvary like no other man because he died innocent. Amen. You think about Adam. As long as Adam was living in the garden in a state of innocence, he could live forever. He had a glorified body and he could live forever in that state of innocence. It was when Adam sinned and he had a conscience and man went from the state of innocence to the state of consciousness that then man became accountable for what he had done. and had to face the consequences. But my friend Jesus lived 33 and a half years on this earth, and he never sinned one time. He could not sin. He that knew no sin, the Bible said, he went to Calvary. And when Jesus died, guess what? He died in a state of innocence. My friend, he died. My friend, death was not in his veins. Jesus was just as clean at Calvary as what Adam was. And when God put him in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin in this last Adam, and there never will be. Amen. He died innocent. Amen. Every man dies guilty except Jesus. He died not only innocent with these marks, but I tell you, he died blessed, didn't he? Jesus is the blessed man. You go back to Psalms chapter 1 and you read that psalm in light of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that he didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't stand in the way of sinners. He didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, what was the delight of Jesus? He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, what did Jesus do? He meditated day and night. Amen. And he lived his whole life like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The life of Christ was all about Calvary. Jesus didn't have to come and figure out the Father's will. He knew it before the foundations of the world. And the Godhead was in perfect agreement. And when Jesus came into this world, he was born to die. He knew he was going to the cross, and he was planted. He was like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. His leaf did not wither, but thank God it brought forth its fruit in its season. And Jesus went to Calvary, and he was, and he still is, the blessed man. Innocence. He died innocent. He died blessed. I'm talking about Calvary bears his identity. And then, my friend, not only did he die innocent and blessed, but thank God when he died, he still had life. Can you figure that one out? You say, what do you mean? I mean, when a man dies, here's what happens to him. His life goes out of him. We have absolutely no control over that. When it comes time to die, it doesn't matter if you're a millionaire. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You can offer the doctors $1 million a second, but they cannot keep you alive one more second. When it comes time to die, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter how famous you are. It doesn't matter how much this world may know or what you have done. When it comes time to die, guess what? There's not a thing we can do about it. We can't live one second longer. We're going to die. But not this man. When he hung on the cross, he's the very embodiment of life. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm going to tell you what death didn't do to him at Calvary. Death didn't crawl up on the cross and put its icy fingertips around his neck and take his life. Oh no. Jesus hung on the cross until the altar in heaven had been satisfied, until the will of God had been done. All death could do was stand there and look at life itself. Death could not hold him. Death could not take him down. The cross did not kill him. The soldiers did not take his life. He's the very embodiment of life. He wasn't going to die until he laid his life down, and he died with life still in him. Hallelujah. I feel like shouting right now, but I need my breath. Praise God. You say, preacher, now how can a man die and still have life? Well, there's only one answer to that question. That man would have to be God. Amen. The only way a man can die and still have life is be God. You say, was he dead? He was graveyard dead. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Death did not take him. Jesus dismissed his spirit from his body, and he went to be with God. And when he dismissed his spirit, he gave up the ghost. He died like no other man had died. And the wounds, the print in the hands and the
in the feet, in the side. It bears an identity, the hands that labored, and in the feet that led, in the side that loved. It reveals the cross. It reveals the Christ. These wounds reveal the cause. You say, what is that? It revealed when he showed those prints. It revealed the reality of Jesus. When they saw those prints, they knew it was him. It was him that had been crucified. It was real. Can I tell you this morning, Calvary is no figment of our imagination, but it's as real as it ever has been this morning. Those marks of identity revealed the reality of Jesus. Of course, the redemption of Jesus. He got those prints in his hands and his feet and his side. As the songwriter said, because he loved me. Sinner, do you realize that God's Son was pierced at Calvary, his hands and his feet and his side, so that you could have redemption? And then he revealed the resurrection because he was alive again. How could a man endure such torture? How could a man go through such extreme persecution, be placed in a grave, pronounced dead, and still be alive 3 days later? He'd have to be God, wouldn't he? And my friend, the wounds of Jesus, they bear an identity. And then secondly, the wounds of Jesus bless us with an invitation. Look at verse 39 again. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. And now look what he says. Handle me and see. Now what about Jesus telling those disciples, listen to me, to handle him and see? This morning, that's what the book says right there. I didn't say that, but God said it. Amen? And if you disagree with it, you're in the wrong place this morning. Can I get an amen right there? Amen? We only need one preacher doing the preaching in this building. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about this morning. That's what that Bible says. The Bible says right here that, listen, he said, behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Look what he said, handle me and see. Now it brings an invitation. Jesus invited them to touch him. He told Mary, touch me not, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. So from the time he had saw Mary to the time our text this morning, we know that Jesus had saw the Father. Amen? He wasn't going to offer that blood. I don't believe at that time, because the Bible said he through the eternal spirit offered up his blood when he died at Calvary and said it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. The veil of the temple could not have been rent, and the blood not been put on the mercy seat, and then listen, an angel could not have done that, for Christ is our high priest. Isn't that right this morning? And so at the very moment that Jesus died on the cross at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, his soul went to the heart of the earth, and his spirit went to be with God, and his body was on the cross, but that blood didn't lay out there for 3 days and three nights. I'm telling you, friend, he took that blood as our high priest and put it on the mercy seat. He satisfied the altar in heaven, and at the very moment that Jesus gave up the ghost, my friend, the blood had satisfied the altar, and God rent the veil from the top to the bottom. Amen. And when Jesus has come back now, what about this? He gives the disciples an invitation to handle him and see. You know, I'm glad that he can be touched. Calvary can be touched. Calvary can be seen. You say, but Brother Gravely, it's past. It's over with. We weren't at the cross, but Jesus said, handle me and see. What did he say? Listen, I'm going to tell you, through the eye of faith, Calvary can still be seen. Can you see it this morning? Can you see Jesus suspended between heaven and hell? Can you see him hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of this world? Can you see the agony and the pain that he is in? Oh, sinner, if you've never seen it, would you take just a moment this morning? Because Calvary and the wounds of Jesus blesses us with this invitation this morning, that you can come by way of the cross. You can see the crucified Lamb of God. He is a risen Lamb, but you must see him as a crucified Lamb. Jesus died for your sins. He died on the cross so that you could be saved. He said, shed his blood so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. He loved you enough to die for you. He cares for your soul this morning. And my friend, Calvary can be touched. The songwriter said Calvary touched many things on that day. Calvary can be handled. You can come to the cross. You can bow at the feet of our Savior and you can be saved. Jesus said, handle me and see. What about what he told Thomas? He said, go ahead, put your finger in the print of my hands. Go ahead and thrust your hand in my side. Why, Lord, would you allow Thomas to do such a thing? He said that you be not faithless. Amen. You know, that's what the cross is all about, is that man would believe and trust Christ this morning. Salvation's not some lightning bolt experience. Some out of the body experience. It's not some mystical thing where you got to be at the right place at the right time or you're not going to get in. I believe in conviction this morning, but I'm going to tell you, it's simple and it's plain. If you hear the gospel and you understand that you're a sinner, if God has turned the light on for you and you know that you're lost and you know you need to be saved and you believe Jesus died for your sins, if you're willing to come and trust Christ, he will save you. Amen. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe everybody can be saved. If you want to be saved, you can be saved because the invitation this morning's come. Sinner, I want to ask you a simple question. Do you want to be saved? Brother Gravely, I want to be saved. Then you can be saved. I'm not talking about a walking down the aisle smacking your chewing gum, praying a little prayer, signing a card and going on out the way that you're living. But I'm talking about this morning, you see yourself a sinner. You know you're lost, as the choir sung. And you've got lost this morning, and you know that if I don't get saved, I'll go to hell. And you truly want to be saved, God will truly save you this morning. The wounds of Jesus bears an identity. The wounds of Jesus blesses us with an invitation. And then the wounds of Jesus bring inspiration. Notice what he said in verse 39. He said, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. You think about the wonder of Christ in verse 39. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye've seen me. The body of Jesus could walk just like it did before. It could talk just like it did before. The body of Jesus could eat. They give him a piece of meat in verse number 41, and he takes some broiled fish and of a honeycomb. He took it and he did eat it before them. This body did not have to have food, but this body, my friend, was able to partake of food just like it did before of his death. He had the same body, but it was a glorified body. And my friend, I'm glad he's got a glorified body right now. And the wonder of Christ, they wondered at him. He is the wonder of all wonders. Amen. He's the only man that was ever crucified that got up again, thank God, and is alive forevermore. Amen. And then the words of Christ, look what verse 40 said, and when he had thus spoken. Amen. You see, they're looking at him, but they're going to have to put faith in what he has said, because looking at him, they may say, well, it's just a spirit. But Jesus said, a spirit cannot do this. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. They're going to have to do what they've always done and what you and I have to do. They're going to have to put their faith in the words of Christ this morning. I've said it many times, and I'm repeating it this morning on purpose, because I think a lot of times people, they do come to an altar and they wonder, did I get saved? Did I say everything right? And did I do everything right? Salvation is not based on what you say. It's based on what he said. Amen. You know, that'd be like me walking around saying, I wonder if I'm really married, because I don't know if when I went down to the altar, the marriage altar that day, what if I don't know if I said everything right. I performed a lot of weddings down through the years, and I can go ahead and tell you, grooms usually don't say everything right. You're so nervous that day. I mean, it's easy to preach a funeral. I'd rather preach 10 funerals as one wedding. You know that? Now they said, well, preacher, I love weddings, but I'm telling you, I get nervous and I'm not even the one getting married. I mean, just something about everything has to be right. You know how it is. Everybody has to, I mean, I like it, that order, but it just, everybody's nervous. Nobody wants to mess up on wedding day. I mean, that's the one thing. The groom's all probably worried, am I going to say no when I ought to? All you got to do is say I do, amen. But you know, sometimes there's that fear, will I say something? Did I say it all right? Did I do everything right? Did I walk down the aisle right? Did I stand in the right place? Did I look? Did I do it all right? Did I say it all right? It's not about that. You might even be here today and say, preacher, I fouled it up my wedding days. I was supposed to say this one thing and I didn't say it. As long as you say I do, you're okay. You might be here and wonder, it's been so many years ago. I made vows and maybe you wrote out your vows and you read your vows. You said, I don't remember if I... Remember if I said all those vows right. But I'm going to tell you something. There's evidence you're married this morning. If you just look around, there's somebody living in your house, isn't there? And there's evidence. It wasn't based on saying everything right. It was a commitment, a covenant that you made. And I'm going to tell you, when a sinner comes to God in repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, well, what if I, Brother Oliver B. Green, I heard him say on the radio one time preaching, he said after he got saved, shortly after he got saved, the devil came to him and said, Oliver, when you got saved or you said you got saved, you just said, God saved me. You didn't call on Jesus. You didn't say, Lord Jesus, save me. And he said, you're not saved because you didn't call on Jesus. The preacher said, you got to call on Jesus. He said, the devil rode me roughshod for a little while. He said, I'd pray about that and pray about that. He said, I couldn't get saved again, and said couldn't figure out what was wrong, and said one day I was praying about it and said the Holy Ghost said to me, said, Oliver, you can't dissect the Trinity. When you called on God, you called on Jesus and you called on everyone. I'm telling you this morning, the saving's not up to you, amen. I'm telling you, he did it right at Calvary. He said it right in that book, and if you'll trust the word of God to save you, it will save you. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? I want to say the wounds of Jesus brings inspiration. It inspired them when he showed them his hands and his feet. I wonder this morning, would you see his hands and his feet? For just a moment, whether you're saved or lost, would you take just a moment in your mind's eye and can you see the hands of Jesus? Those loving hands. Those hands that reached out and touched the lepers. Those hands that reached up and picked up little children. I read that passage the other day. What about that? A little child sitting in the lap of Jesus. That's a good place to put your children, is in the lap of our Lord. And Jesus, with those hands, he picked that little child up and put that child in his lap, loving hand. Hands that broke the bread and gave it to the disciples, but hands that were pierced. What about his feet that trotted the dusty roads of the Middle East? What about the feet of Jesus that walked through Capernaum that would not believe? The feet of our Lord that walked the desert, that went into the wilderness led by the Spirit, coming up out of that muddy Jordan to be tempted of the devil. The feet that walked the Via Dolorosa, carrying the cross on his back to Calvary's brow. The feet of Jesus, they were pierced. One day we will bow at his feet. And we'll see the feet of the one. So I'd have liked to have been at Calvary. You're going to get as close to Calvary as you could ever get one day when you bow at the feet of Jesus and you see the wounds where the hammer took the nail and drove it through. What about the lovely side of our Lord that was pierced? This morning as we stand, if I was saved, you don't have to come to this altar unless the Holy Spirit tells you. But if I was saved, I would thank Jesus for the wounds that he shed for me. And this morning, if I was lost, I'd get out of my seat And I'd come to this altar and I'd say, Lord, would you save my soul? Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for the wounds in your hand and your feet, the piercings of Calvary, the cross, what he received at the cross. He did it for you and he did it for me. Sinner, if you're lost this morning, I'd come today and be saved. Don't die without Jesus. If you're backslid this morning, I want to tell you God has been too good to you. He died on the cross for you this morning. And you owe it to him to live for him. If you know you're saved, you ought to give God your best. I wonder why our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians are praying. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning. I'm not going to come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing, but I do want to pray for you. Is there anybody here to say, Brother Gravely, I'm not saved. And if I died, I know I'd go to hell. And I want you to pray for me. Don't embarrass me, but would you just pray for me? I tell you, sinner, I'd love to pray for you. I wonder if there's just a sinner here this morning. Say, would you pray for me? If you'll lift your hand up and put it right back down, just slip it up where I can see it. I see that hand. God bless you, young man. I wonder if there's somebody else this morning. I wonder if there's another sinner here this morning. Jesus loves you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, sir. Come on to Jesus this morning. Brother Grant, you tell this man how to be saved. I shook hands with him. God will save you this morning, sir. He loves you. How many of y'all believe Jesus loves this man? He'll save his soul. You just trust the cross, the Christ of Calvary. Trust the blood. How about it, young man? Why don't you come get saved this morning? I want to face somebody else. I want to face somebody else this morning. You need to be saved. You just slip your hand up and say, Brother Gravely, pray for me. Pray for me. How about it this morning? I know I'm not saved. And I want to be saved. Is there somebody else? Ma'am, if you want to put your hand up, why don't you put it up? The Lord will save you. He'll save you this morning. Yes. These others. We're going to sing this morning. If you're lost, would you come and be saved this morning? If you're backslid, would you come get right with God while we sing this old hymn?